with buttons, green suits and silver shoes. My mind was young until she secret thoughts known only by few. It was a dream.
It's midnight with some Graham Parsons on the radio. So we're going to talk about buttons. Bicentennial by Button, 200 Years of Trailblazers, Rascals, and Felons is a free online exhibit featuring images of more than 1,600 Illinois campaign buttons. And it's curated by our friend in the studio, Claude Walker. Claude, thanks for joining us.
Dave, great to be here. Thanks for having me. Usually when we bump into each other, it's at a ball game or at some dive bar. This is a totally different setting. I've never been up to the new WGN studios here, but they are very posh. There's no graffiti in the Johns. All the staff, they're all wearing tuxedos. The champagne fountain is very
impressive. Well, we had that music. So, yeah, it's a special night here on a Monday here at WGN. Now, your background, I know you both... like you said, I know you through sports. I saw you down in Puerto Rico back in 2003. It was an Expos Cubs series, wasn't it?
That was a great baseball road trip.
Yeah.
In those days, the Expos, before they moved to Washington, D.C., they would play several home series in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So in 2003, the Cubs had a series down there, and you and I and our buddy Rich Harris and half of Cub Nation went down to San Juan for these games, and it was spectacular. The stadium is very intimate. It's more like a minor league stadium.
Yeah, sure.
Hiram Bithorn, which, as you know, is named after a Chicago pitcher who was the first Puerto Rican player in the bigs. So the stadium is very intimate. We were one night we were in the right field bleachers. And the wall is like 6 feet high. And the two right fielders were Vladimir Guerrero and Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
And, two of the best in the business at the time. And, Sammy had just come off the cork bat incident.
Yeah, right.
So people in the bleachers were, kind of giving him the business there. And so it was a very memorable baseball road trip.
It was a great road trip. The highlight was seeing Rich Harris in a swimming suit in the pool.
I think the highlight might have been seeing a certain Cubs reliever in a casino at 3 a.m. throwing some dice really fast.
Yeah, right. So, Cash, check out this resume of our guest, and this is going to lead into the political button thing. Senior advisor to a governor, a U.S. senator, a Chicago alderman, and the first Asian American elected judge. You've done all that and more, I know.
Not all at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Senior advisor to governor. Was that Governor Quinn?
Yes, it was.
Talk a little bit about that.
I'd been involved with a lot of Pat Quinn's endeavors over the years, going back to the mid-70s, in a couple of his term limits, petition drives, and most of his early campaigns. And so I joined him in the governor's office for a few years at the very end there, and as his senior writer, which was quite an experience. Every day was different, and they were all crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I knew the Quinn thing, Chicago alderman. Which alderman was that?
That'd be Alderman Joe Moore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. And what'd you do with him?
We go to a lot of Cubs games, actually, and that's where most of the best advice comes from.
Yeah, yeah. So, I know you got the collector bug. Talk about when you started collecting buttons. I mean, 1960, talk about your family. There's a political background in your family and how you first got exposed to buttons.
My father were both newspapermen as well as politicians. My grandfather had various newspapers in the western suburbs, the Forest Park Review and Des Plaines Valley Times and Westchester News. And
there was a Westchester News.
Yeah, so that was in the 50s and 60s. And he was in the legislature in the 1950s. And early
what was his name?
Claude Walker Sr.,
okay.
For whom I am named. And then my dad was also into politics. Now, they were both Republicans. And I fortunately saw the light at a pretty early age and made the transition. But I think it came naturally to me to go into politics and to be a writer, to combine those two joys of life.
Now, your grandfather gave you your first button. Was that a Nixon Lodge button?
Nixon Lodge, right. Still have it.
You do?
You know, a couple of years later, then I bought my first button.
Your first button.
AUH2O, which I know you're a chemistry buff.
Yeah, really.
That stands for gold water.
Oh, that's good.
Table. So that was my first button, and gathered about 4,000 since then.
4,000 buttons.
Every time I do a campaign, I make sure to swipe a few buttons. You know, you don't see buttons in campaigns as much as you used to. You know, I think in the old days, it was the best way for people to have an expression of who they supported or what cause they supported. And I think campaigns are starting to get away from that a little bit, which as a button collector, you know, I have mixed feelings about that. You know, and when I was coming down here, I stopped off at Bug House Square.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as you know, that was a place where people could have a public dialogue and, you know, stand on a soapbox, you know, until somebody knocked you off with their words, you know, and you had to affirmatively express your desires, your opinions. The same with a button. You know, you may remember the 1983 mayoral campaign, and the Harold Washington blue rainbow button was an incredible, powerful tool for political change, and people would wear that button and just, you know, see somebody else wearing that button and just have a little smile like, yeah, we're on the same team. And, you know, I think now maybe people are, you know, they're using social media a lot more in campaigns, and, you know, you just don't see during the campaign season people wearing buttons.
You got me thinking. I've saved some buttons over the years, but I do have a Honkies for Harold button.
There you go.
I think that might have been bootleg, but do you have one of those?
Maybe I do, actually.
You do have a Honkies
for Harold.
You've designed more than 25 buttons.
I have.
Now talk about that. Talk about what ones you've designed and what goes in. Obviously brevity, but I mean, what goes into designing a good button? Which ones have you done? Which ones are your proudest of?
I brought two along tonight that are related to the bicentennial. One is called Illinois Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And in that button, we have the image of Mount Rushmore. And on the top, you have the four Illinoisans who went to the White House. And then sort of a mirror image on the bottom, you have the four governors who went to the Big House.
Yeah.
And
recite those again. I mean, it's
so that would be
Blago,
Otto Kerner, Dan Walker.
No relation.
No relation,
Dan Walker.
Thank you. Okay. And George Ryan and Rod Blagojevich.
Matt Blagojevich.
So I think, you know, that button sort of shows graphically sort of the yin-yang of Illinois politics, that how did a state like us produce, you know, eight totally different people, you know, with eight different paths to power, and, you know, four of whom, you know, went to the slammer. So, you know, maybe there's something about the state of Illinois that that they're like two sides of the same coin, that there's, you know, it's a complex state, it's a tough arena for people to survive in. So maybe, you know, what sent people to the White House also sent people to the Big House.
Now, you designed these buttons, and they are physical buttons. Can people get them, or are they just limited edition?
These were limited edition, but we have a few left over here. And, you know, the other one I did, I call Illinois Button, because it's the map of Illinois made out of 75 buttons. It sort of tells the story of Illinois through stories, because each of these buttons represents someone's dreams or schemes or aspirations. And you know, so I think the story of Illinois is best told through these little wearable works of art.
Now your museum lives at www.illinoisbicentennial.org.
correct.
It's fascinating. You've got, talk about the different galleries. There's, what, 30, 31 different galleries, and you've kind of split them up? So
yeah, well, we've got one whole
when
section.
When listeners go to www.illinoisbicentennial.org, what will they see, and how should they navigate it?
There are 31 different galleries. Some focus on politicians that were busted.
Yeah,
local politicians, governors, you know, Congress critters.
That's probably a big part of the.
That's a big part.
Yeah.
I have a section called Sidebar, and these are galleries that look at an interesting little part of Illinois history, such as when Adlai Stevenson was paired up with the LaRouches to run for governor, or, for example, the Council Wars or the Daley Dynasty. So you know, you can focus in on certain little sections of Illinois history by doing that. I think the best part of it are the trailblazers.
You have women trailblazers.
We have all sorts of trailblazers. And, you know, some have really interesting stories, you know, like Ron Sable, the first openly gay person to run for city council.
Oh, I remember,
Chacha Jimenez, who was the first Latinx to run for city council. You know, as well as people like Judy Bartopinka or Sandra Otaka, the first Asian-American elected judge in Cook County. So I think you can learn a lot about who the barrier breakers were in Illinois history by looking at some of those galleries in the exhibit.
They've been on the show. You've collaborated with our friends at Busy Beaver, right?
They're fantastic.
Yeah. How was that marriage made?
Well, they actually produced these buttons that I brought tonight, and I've used them in the production of other buttons. It's such a unique place out there on West Armitage.
Sure.
It's both a button factory. You know, and I've been collecting all my life, but I never really knew how they were made until I saw it, you know, at the Busy Beaver. And then they have a great museum, not-for-profit. It's in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
Their online museum is fantastic, and I have about 100 images that came courtesy of Busy Beaver. So, you know, I'd encourage anybody who's out there in you know, the near northwest side to stop by Busy Beaver sometime. It's a fascinating place.
Right down the road from Ouija's, which is a great little bar. Ouija's is a great bar, great photographer. Why do you do this? What's the muse?
Well, you know, a bicentennial is a pretty big deal. 200 years is a pretty long time. A lot of institutions don't make it as long as 200 years. So I wanted to, as sort of an armchair historian and as a button collector and as a writer, kind of combine all those to tell the story of Illinois in a very different way. So we have the 1,600 images. We have a lot of my essays. You know, having spent a lifetime in Illinois politics, I've got a lot of stories, and Dave, I'm starting to forget them.
Yeah.
So I thought I better start writing these things down. So that's sort of how that was the genesis of the Bicentennial by Button exhibit.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about buttons. I want to talk about your writing too. So don't go away with Claude Walker on WGN's Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. And in the studio, we have our friend Claude Walker, veteran of, this is stuff you gave me, Claude, veteran of 80 Illinois campaigns and collector of more than 4,000 political items.
Right.
I mean, so you're really an expert in the field.
I don't know about that.
But. Yeah. And your museum is at www.illinoisbicentennial.org. Have you talked to any politicians who collect buttons, who are interested in what you're doing? What do they say?
You know, I'm just now starting to get feedback from a lot of people about the site, and I'm getting collectors from around the state who are sending me some really interesting things. So recently I got a picture of a cigarette lighter that was given out by Paul Powell as a campaign thing.
Yeah.
And
talk about, for listeners who may not know who Paul Powell is.
Well, Paul Powell, the gray fox of Vienna, very powerful member of the House and then Secretary of State. And, you know, he was sort of an innovator in that, you know, he had the first, you know, we have reflective license plates because of Paul Powell, for example. But, you know, he was a little hinky in that he would ask, well, he wouldn't ask his employees. He would hand out a bag here. I brought a copy of a Paul Powell bag here. This is courtesy of the Alderman Joe Moore.
I've never seen that. Put it in the bag.
It says, put it in the bag. Elect Paul Powell, Secretary of State. And they would pass this around, and the employees would put it in the bag. So you know, he was best known for encouraging drivers who were applying for their license plates to just make the check out to him personally, because it would really speed up the process. And so when he died, they found in his hotel room at the St. Nick Hotel in Springfield, behind 25 cans of cream corn, they found $3 billion and $5 million in cash, $3 million in stock, all behind the cream corn. So, you know, he was best known for the phrase, I can smell the meat a-cookin'. So when you go to IllinoisBicentennial.org, you can see a cigarette lighter that we think was the one that he used to light the stove to cook the meat.
Isn't that something? Now, you've written books.
I have.
But this museum and these buttons, that begs for a book. I mean, you should take it, besides online, I can see like a photo book or something. I mean, have you thought about bringing this to print?
Well,
with all these stories, like the one you just told?
20,000 words. That's a half of a novel right there. Uh-huh. So it was a tough writing project. I'd probably have to go back and do a little bit of editing here and there to clean it up. But
there's oddities. Talk about some other oddities.
So, we've got some other interesting things in the museum. One of my favorites is a pronunciation sponge. It's a sponge that says Blagojevich.
I never saw that.
If you dip it in water, it becomes freaking golden. We have a Chicago street guide from Mayor Mike Belandic. Which I always found ironic because he lost office because he couldn't clean the streets. But it was nice of him to do that. We have a George Ryan bookmark here with a creepy clown on it.
Oh, that's terrible.
And it says, careful kids are street smart, courtesy of George Ryan, who didn't know that careful kids don't shake down businesses they regulate. Finally, another one I brought is kind of interesting. It's a J.B. Pritzker campaign brochure. Now, you may wonder, why is that interesting? Well, it's because it's from 1998 when he ran for Congress. And I have to say, the guy looks great compared. I mean, he looks the same now that he did in 1998. He hasn't aged a bit. We'll see in 4 years. We'll check back on that.
That's amazing.
You can see a lot of oddities in the Bicentennial Museum.
So your website also, the Button website also links to your other projects. Real briefly, we're running out of time here, but talk about some of your books. And I was really interested in the Earth. You know, we're both such baseball fans. The Earth Baseball Tourney.
You know, in 1964, I got a baseball card for Masanori Murakami.
Right.
He was a rookie prospect with the Giants. And up until that point, I had no idea that baseball existed outside of USA. So that began sort of a lifelong interest in extending the reach of baseball. And so the Earth Baseball Tourney is a novel about someone who tries to push baseball into places where they don't know anything about baseball. And it's sort of a dark comedy about the globalization of baseball as well as killer cell phones.
And that's out now? And when did it come out?
And then the other one, Drone Dogs, came out a little more recently. And that takes place in Chicago in the near future when everybody's got a drone. Everybody's got a personal drone. People don't take selfies anymore, Dave. I know you like selfies, but they all take dronies. So pretty soon, bad people get drones in their hands. Burglars, drone peepers, gangbangers. So mayhem ensues.
You may be the first guest we've ever had that doesn't have a cell phone. How's that work out for you? What are the good things about not
very
having a
quietly
cell phone? And
I have total focus.
Really?
It's fantastic. Yeah. Really? And you know, the thought of putting a device with a little radioactive chip right next to my brain is not appealing. So we're going to hold off as long as we can.
Because technology is kind of a thread in some of these books.
Absolutely.
You're kind of fascinated with
I think
that.
It's technology in the hands of idiots is the, uh-huh, the basic theme to those two books in particular.
Well, it certainly can be true with politicians and Twitter. You know, it can be
exactly
true. That's another reason buttons are going away, is Twitter. Twitter's like a button, you know.
I know, but the thing is, Twitter doesn't last real long. I mean,
That's true.
It's out there for a long time, but, you know, with a button, the campaign, the cause may end, but the button continues.
Claude, will you come back and see us sometime?
I'd love to.
You got so much stuff. I love that Paul Powell stuff.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
So you can see Bicentennial by Button, 200 Years of Trailblazers, Rascals, and Felons at www.IllinoisBicentennial.org.
That's
so thanks so much, Claude.
All right, thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
We'll be back with more after this on WGN.